is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I like the fact that baseball's there with me every night. Baseball's the soundtrack of summer when football is not playing games. We've just wrapped up hoops and hockey. I find it comforting that baseball's always there through the summer nights. I enjoy the fact that it takes the scenic route. Baseball's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Anything can and will happen.
All right, here comes the judge. Oh, what a home run.
This ball's got a chance. Gone.
Deep to left center, way back, up, up and away.
Not one, not two, not three, but four home runs tonight for Scooter Jeanette.
Baseball gives me a chance to lower my heart rate, sit, put your feet up, enjoy.
Put me in cold.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Put me in cold. I'm ready to play today. Look at me. Yeah, I can be. Oh, put me in cold.
Truly one of the best sports songs ever performed. It is a song that gets me singing every time and is so closely identified with baseball that is perfect this time of the year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Also this time of the year, post All-Star break, cruising toward the end of July. Seriously, say that out loud. This time next week, we'll be on the cusp of August 1st. So a week to go until baseball's trade deadline. And yet, it's hard to tell who will be selling, who will be buying. I guess we can all sit back, maybe buckle up. I hope there's something to buckle up for and forward the river together. I know, I'm a weirdo. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Online, A-Law Radio, or our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, you can answer tonight's show question that has nothing to do with the baseball trade deadline. In honor of Joe Burrow, who has the best hair in sports? And of course, you can include broadcasters. Right now, I'm going Trevor Lawrence and Asia Wilson. She's got great hair, too. So, either one of our social media sites, phone number 855-212-4227. This portion of the show is sponsored by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track, all-wheel drive, and standard third-row seating. We're pleased to welcome Rowan Kavner from Los Angeles, and Fox Sports covers Major League Baseball and has a post-up on the website as well as his Twitter, where you can read various answers to the questions I'm about to ask him, though these are all my original questions. So, Rowan, as we get closer to the trade deadline, how would you describe the climate in Major League Baseball right now?
Quiet right now. And I think, you know, usually by this point, you'd see a little bit more movement. And I think that speaks to the fact that you have a lot of teams, especially in the National League, who aren't very good, who are kind of sitting there around 500, a little bit below 500. And, you know, you'd expect there to be a little bit more separation at this point. Now, you're starting to see it a little bit. And, in this next week, things are going to kind of present themselves. But there's still a lot of these teams who are just kind of sort of on the brink of, am I a buyer? Am I a seller? I imagine there'll be kind of a little bit of both. I think there's a few teams that could really sort of tilt what this trade deadline really looks like. I think the Rays are one of them because they have a ton of pieces, and I know they're at 500, but they're just so far behind in the AL East, it sort of sounds like they might be a seller. And then the other one is the Rangers, who, you know, before this week and maybe the last, you know, couple weeks, you'd say, all right, they're looking like sellers, and now all of a sudden they get hot. And I think that's a team that, coming off a World Series championship, you know, they're going to have any reason to kind of want to go for it still, and I think they've probably found that. So all of a sudden it's like, you know, there's 3 to 5 names from some of these teams that could really change things, and now they go from selling to probably staying still. So there's just not a lot of huge star power that's sure to move.
It's interesting that you mentioned the National League and how many teams are either mediocre or not even, and yet all but, say, 2 teams are within about 5 games of that third wild card if they're not a division leader. Is that enough to keep these franchises from divesting themselves and kind of say, all right, well, there's a potential, so we stay in the race?
Yeah, that's the question, right? And I think you've seen, you know, like the Cubs recently saying, well, you know, we're probably going to look towards selling. And you look at that team and there's not a lot of obvious, like, rental pieces. I, you know, Cody Bellinger is going to be a name, obviously, that kind of floated around there. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think any team that's going to be at 500 is not really going to want to sell. And I think you see some of the teams that really have pieces. You know, Arizona's kind of started to turn it around a little bit. San Diego's got hot, you know, Pittsburgh's gotten hot. And really, you're looking at just sort of the Cubs and recently the Giants, who are kind of interesting, you know, if guys like Snell or maybe even Chapman could become available just given that slide. But they have such weird contracts that it's hard to really bet on that happening. And even the first base market, right, where we're talking about Pete Alonso and Christian Walker, well, I highly doubt either of those two guys go. And that's where you start looking now at a team like the Rays, who have a Yandy Diaz, who have Paredes, who have some guys who could help, and maybe they just don't want to pay for them in the future.
You mentioned the Rays and the Rangers kind of sitting on it right now and waiting for this next week, but any teams that obviously are looking to make moves?
Sure. Yeah, I think if you're the White Sox or the A's or the Marlins or the Rockies, although the Rockies just tend to, who knows what the heck they want to do half the time, I think those are obviously the teams that have sort of just been in the cellar. I think the Nationals have kind of presented themselves now as a team that's ready to sell that could be really, really interesting here in the next couple years. The Angels are obviously a team that should be looking to sell, should probably be looking to sell big, but they just never really seem to commit to doing that. And then you kind of look at these interesting teams, the Tigers, who have the best pitcher that possibly maybe could be available in Skubal. I doubt it actually happens, though. I think Flaherty is probably going to be maybe the best rental pitcher that ends up moving. But the Jays are also super interesting. Another team there that should sell, I think should probably just kind of throw in the towel at this point and look toward the future. They're so far out of contention this year. And I know there's some question as to whether, you know, they're going to deal anything, you know, that could help them potentially in 25 or 26, you know, non-rentals. I think they should. And I think, you know, they obviously could get a ton back for Vladimir Guerrero. It's just, you've had enough belief in them, I think, over the last few years, and they've just not put it together in a way that I think they have to really look themselves in the mirror and say, it might be time to blow this thing up.
Looking ahead to baseball's trade deadline at the end of the month with Rowan Kavner of Fox Sports joining us from L.A. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You mentioned the Angels, so the Mike Trout situation popped into my brain. How hopeful are the Angels now after having to shut him down again?
It's not great. Everyone was kind of talking before the year, oh, would you, you know, be willing to take a trade? Are you interested? He said, no, I want to win here. He just can't stay healthy. I would love to be able to say, you know, to see him playing October baseball somewhere and to shut down the rehab and come back. It doesn't look great. Obviously, we got to wait to hear how serious that is. But I just feel for the guy. I mean, he's so good when he's on the field still.
Yes.
And you're concerned that you're just never going to be able to see more than 100 games of that in a season. Hopefully he can, you know, get healthy again, but man, his body is just not cooperating.
Yeah, it is crazy to think we've only ever seen him on the playoff stage one time. All right, getting back to the trade deadline, we talked about it from the seller point of view and how right now everybody's kind of looking around. What about buyers? Who do you expect to be active in pursuing moves that might help them in the second half?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more of those. You could pretty much make the case for probably 20 teams right now. I think, you know, Baltimore needs pitching. I think that's been clear from the start. I expect them to get that. Now, how many top prospects are they willing to deal to really get a guy that could change things, you know, for them in October? I think that kind of remains to be seen. There's just no teams that can put a package together quite like they can. I expect the Dodgers to be shopping at the high end of the starting pitching market, although they're just so banged up. They're going to need help in a lot of different places. You could make the case for the Yankees at a number of different spots. I think for sure they need an infielder. They need bullpen help. The teams that are kind of interesting, just sort of lurking, you know, Cleveland needs to upgrade their starting pitching. Minnesota probably does too. And these are two teams that just aren't really willing to take on a lot of salaries. So you're probably looking at rental pieces there. And the same goes for Milwaukee. You know, I think Fetty is a name that's really interesting for some of these teams who don't want to spend a lot, but maybe want a guy who's still under control next year. I think that's, again, where maybe a Jack Flaherty can kind of slot in. I think Houston needs starting pitching. You could probably make a case for most of these teams needing starting pitching. The Phillies could use some relief help. I think they should probably go get another outfielder. I've always thought that would be a really fun spot for Luis Robert to end up. I don't think that happens, but I do think they probably find some outfield help. Obviously, Atlanta, you know, they're going to try to replicate what happened last time Acuna went down. They're going to just kind of put a bunch of outfield pieces together, I think, and hope they can kind of find something there. And obviously, the Mets have been hot. I think they need relief help. So I feel like I've gone through probably 10, 11 teams, and there's probably 10 and 11 more that I could start naming. I think the Pirates are interesting in terms of, you know, with that starting rotation now and just how incredible Skeens has been. If they can just get a little bit of offensive pop, maybe they make some noise there in the Central. And, I mean, A.J. Preller with the Padres, you just sort of assume, I know they already got Cease and Arise, but there's just no way he sits on his hands at the deadline. I know they have some financial constraints, but I expect he'll do something probably surprising that we're not talking about.
So other than Jack, where is all this pitching going to come from?
That's a great question. And this is where you have a lot of guys who, if teams are really willing to sell and get rid of guys that are under control for a long time, they could really, really get a lot back. I mean, Crochet is probably the biggest name from the White Sox. He's ARB eligible through 2026. He's had a history of injury, and the biggest thing now is he's already thrown more than twice as many innings as he has in any previous season. So that might be the best arm to go at the deadline, but whoever acquires him is going to have to get creative with how they're going to handle the innings. I think, you know, Mason Miller from a relief standpoint is really interesting. You know, the Athletics just didn't do anything with him. He could end up going from Oakland to Sacramento to Las Vegas and be there through all of it. That's how long he's still under team control for them. But so obviously that could bring back a lot. You know, relievers are also fickle. He also has an injury history. And again, this is where, you know, teams like the Rangers, who all of a sudden they're getting back up to 500. They have a ton of pitchers who could help teams if they wanted to sell. You know, if they wanted to get rid of Eovaldi, if they wanted to get rid of Yates, you know, I think they have guys who could really help. You can make the case for and against on pretty much all these guys. I expect Eflin to maybe get dealt. I don't know that the Rays are going to want to spend that $18 million on him next year, and I think there is a team that could. And then you look at the Cubs, who all of a sudden have kind of gone into sell mode, and I think Taillon is a name that's interesting.
It's funny about the Rangers, because I would think that there would be a little more of that goodwill extending from their first World Series title, and yet you hear the phrases kind of whispered like they're ready to blow it up all of a sudden. But that whole division has scuffled.
You know, playing the White Sox can really change your outlook on the future, and that has maybe been the case this week for Texas, who ran into the right team at the right time to kind of maybe convince themselves that this is maybe worth going for. But yeah, I mean, I think they're three games back right now. I think all those thoughts that they might start selling, you know, it's hard to see that now. Maybe they do a little bit of buying, a little bit of selling. They're a little bit interesting in that, you know, if they do get DeGrom and Malley back, that maybe they could kind of deal from the back end of the rotation to, you know, have a maybe add somewhere else, something like that. But in terms of their big names, you know, Eovaldi was a really popular one, and it's just hard to really think that's going to happen now.
Rowan Kavner is with us from L.A., looking ahead to baseball's trade deadline, where it seems like it's the calm before any potential storm, if there's going to be a storm at all. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Any teams out there, any of the front runners who would say, yeah, we're good, we don't need anything, we're happy exactly where we are?
They'll probably say that. I don't know if they necessarily mean that. I think, you know, Minnesota is kind of interesting. I don't know how much they're actually going to do. I think we kind of expected them to do maybe more this offseason. And the Royals are kind of lurking here. I think they really need outfield help. I kind of wonder what we're going to see from them. And then the Red Sox as well, who've just played so well, and not necessarily the last couple of weeks, but just kind of leading up through the start of July. You kind of wondered what side are they going to be on. I would expect them to buy. But, I mean, yeah, if you're a team that's ready to contend, that's kind of in this sort of like middling spot, I think you do need to add. If you're over 500, I would expect you to add. I'm looking at, you know, some of these teams that are right around there. I can't see one of these teams that should think I'm just good. You know, I'm good to go. Obviously, Baltimore or the Yankees, you probably could stay pat, and you're getting into October, but you need help if you really want to win a World Series.
The Guardians right now are sitting on the most wins in the American League, which is incredible. You mentioned Baltimore and New York, both another win behind them. But still, it's been a lot of fun to see the Guardians after what was last year, maybe an aberration. What's the key to the Guardians playing as well as they are at this point?
Stephen Kwan's been incredible. I think Jose Ramirez is still probably one of the most underrated players, and they've gotten some power from Naylor as well. David Fry was kind of a revelation early in the year. I don't know if the offense is going to, it's like they're 61-40. So this is not a fluke. We are way too far into this to think that they don't, you know, they don't deserve this. And that bullpen, when you have that many arms that can come at a team, that'll always keep you, you know, formidable. So I think the key for them right now, I really think they need to add starting pitching. One, just to kind of take some relief off those relievers, but also just to feel confident about who you're giving the ball to in October. I mean, it's kind of incredible that they've done what they've done with the starting pitching being as mediocre as it's been so far. So they've been great. You know, the top end of those offensive players are great. They could use more lineup depth, but I really think they need to add another starting pitcher.
What are a couple of other storylines or teams that are pleasant surprises or kind of caught you off guard at this point?
Teams were talking about the Royals and Tigers as you know, are they really ready? Are they really ready? And I think they've proven that they are. And the Royals revamped that rotation, Seth Lugo has been incredible. It seems like a lot of those decisions have really worked out. Obviously, Bobby Witt is otherworldly, has just transformed into what he has, which is it's just an incredible player, really, really fun player to watch. I still think they need a little more lineup depth, but that's a team that definitely has surprised me for the better. But look, it's Cleveland and Milwaukee. I think those are the two that we didn't really expect to see this from. And the Brewers to get rid of Corbin Burns and still perform the way that they are. You know, you look behind Peralta and you go, who is pitching for this team? And they just sort of figure it out. And that offense has been good. It's had enough kind of depth there. And you know, losing Yelich is obviously a huge blow for them, but a lot of credit for how they've handled things.
How much staying power do the Braves have? Consider everything they're navigating right now.
Oof. It just sort of feels like you keep going back to a couple years ago saying that team without Acuna couldn't do it, and they did it, and they still just have so much star power, even with all these guys injured. But I am concerned. I am concerned about that team. Now, all they have to do is get into October, and I think they're still scary, and they should still get to October. I don't think that's going to be a concern. But, man, it just does not seem to be their year right now.
I hope they provide the drama in the National League, and we've talked about it a little bit. But right now, the closest race in the NL is the Central, where the Cardinals are 6 games back of the Brewers. I mean, the Phillies are running away with their division, even though you know the Braves are still above 500. And the Dodgers, despite having, one pitcher left from their opening day starting rotation, they're also 8 games up. So where's the drama there?
I think the drama will happen in the Central. I think there's, the Brewers have played awesome, but I still think they really need to add some rotation help, and you know, getting Devin Williams back for the stretch run will be really big for them. But I don't know if that offense can keep it up to this degree, and you're starting to see, you know, Pittsburgh get hot. St. Louis has kind of just been hanging in there. So you know, if I have to pick between those three, you know, between the East, the Central, and the West, I think the Central could still have some fireworks left in it.
Paul Skeens is this incredible boost for Major League Baseball. After starting the All-Star game for the National League, he comes back on Tuesday night and he pitches into the 9th inning. I know it was a loss to the Cardinals, but right now he's must-watch TV, or he puts butts in the seats. If you're the Pirates, what's the approach, considering their recent history of losing or trading away most of their great young stars?
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to just kind of let him go a little bit. You know, a lot of teams are kind of dealing with this. There's a lot of relievers turned starters, and that's obviously not the case here. We're just talking about a young star, but a guy that they want to protect. But you look at other places where, you have these guys who are nearing or past their career or their season highs in innings, and you kind of wonder, what are you going to do with them? And I don't think teams necessarily have the answer. You know, it's like, some of them are going to kind of let them go, maybe cut an inning off where they can, you know, but there's not really, you know, there's a lot of guys who don't want to be shut down and want to keep going. And I think with a guy like that, you know, you cut innings maybe where you can. I know he just pitched into the 9th, but I think, you know, you got to look at how taxed he is from start to start and that sort of thing. But man, you let him go. You ride this guy. That is an incredible piece to be able to build around. And for a team that really, really needs a lot of offensive help, they have a pretty exciting young rotation that should be able to keep them competitive for a lot of years.
And I hope it's not Pirates fans wondering when or for how long they'll be able to see Paul Skeens. Before I let you go, some of the big news coming out of baseball on Wednesday, the Red Sox extend Alex Cora a nice fat contract extension. Why is he the right guy for that franchise?
I mean, I think you're seeing it. Yeah, I think there's a level of kind of calmness and poise that, you know, when things maybe aren't going so well, he's able to kind of steer them back on track. And, you know, you need good players. You know, you could have the best manager on earth, and if you don't have good players, it's not really going to matter. But I think he's been able to kind of get the best out of them. I think really that whole coaching staff has turned Boston from a team that was, you know, a really disappointing situation this winter, and not really getting the guys that they did not go full throttle as they were kind of promised. And yet here they are, you know, in playoff contention, really kind of making some noise in the AL East. And I think Cora has a lot to do with that. I think what they did really from top down and Bailey and that pitching staff, that it's been really incredible. And, you know, it's interesting. That was kind of the one name in addition to Schumacher who, after this year, you kind of wondered, well, where's he going to go? Because some team is going to be interested in hiring that guy. And and to Boston's credit, I think they made the right choice in securing him. And there's not going to be quite as many obvious, you know, managerial candidates for some of these teams right now that have disappointed.
Find Rowan Kavner on Twix at R-O-W-A-N-K-A-V-N-E-R. And right now, if you check it out on foxsports.com, he's got, we'll call it a prep, maybe a cliff notes as you get ready for the Major League Baseball trade deadline. It's great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Awesome. Had a good time.